We're still here.
We are still here. Can you believe it?
No.
Even on the long weekend, we worked to bring the big.
So,
well then, that was...
I don't have to mark shit.
Well, apparently you know we've been doing this long.
Allow
weekend.
Me to do my mouth exercises.
I want to speak well.
Well. I'm sure they will enjoy that.
Do you have enough Baileys in that coffee?
No.
Oh, poor you notice I had to open a second bottle, right? Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Fangs and Fonts. I'm Ocean.
I'm Roland.
I'm Yanara.
I'm Voice.
And it's great to have you guys back for another week.
So, this week on Fangs and Fonts, we are going to talk about fan fiction.
Dun, dun, dun.
Why people do it, why you should
or shouldn't
should you? Should
consider.
Should we scoff at them for writing fan
so
fiction
bad.
And not
are
writing
they,
their own?
Are they real writers? Does my slash fiction of Sonic end up classifying as real writing?
Sonic and Potter.
I'm going to pair up Sonic and SpongeBob and Patrick.
And DuckTales.
And DuckTales.
Or so. Dr. House and...
Let's look at fan fiction today as it's I don't know if you're...
It's pretty rampant.
It's a bit of almost a black spot sometimes in the writing community. People are like, oh, you write fan fiction. As if... You're not good enough to write your own stories. You have to use someone else's world.
Or you're just really dirty.
Yeah.
It's that one thing you can write that is considered like the instant slush pile submission.
Well, I would hope you're not submitting fan fiction to publication unless you're doing so in a way that it can't be told that it's fan fiction. Like some of our famous fan fiction examples.
Funny you should bring up published fan fiction because that just so happens to happen sometimes.
We've got...
More often than you think. We've got, like, let's... I think the oldest version of fan fiction that's recorded is actually Sherlock Holmes stories. Now, if this is wrong, please correct me. But as far as I know, Sherlock Holmes is one of the oldest.
How about the Bible?
No, you mean the Apocrypha. But...
Okay. Nope. Score. Because...
Oh. Cute, nasty emails.
Just religious studies coming in here, because the first book ever written was Mark, and then every other book that came out after that. And
don't you
think
the Old Testament was written first?
Well, yes, but anyway, you have
religion major.
In the New Testament, you have Mark that came first, and then you had the next two that came and took from Mark plus
the Q possibly.
Yeah, the Q. The thing that exists that. We don't have.
Because they were written, what, 100, 200 years after?
Yeah. And then other people. But every subsequent writing or book drew off the first ones and other elements. So, yes, technically, the Bible would be the oldest fan fiction.
Was it really? I guess.
Yeah, like, I look at...
I like this guy named Jesus. I'm going to include my own guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, look at the amount of religions that we have that are based off the same, like, fundamental concept. But they're all just slightly different. Like, people have taken the parts that they like of this pre-existing storyline and then have tweaked it for their own individual
I'm not
going
to get into debate about the Bible
now. I'm not trying to...
So I'm
going to
go back to Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I believe is the first official...
Air quotes.
...published fan fiction, because after Doyle tried to kill off... the character, spoilers, sorry. If you haven't seen any of the Sherlock series that are produced nowadays and copy that. After he did that, people were so upset because he was done writing it. He was sick of writing it that people were like, no, this character must continue. They loved it so much. And so they ended up writing their own stories, which I think ended up... He also wrote some more afterwards, but part of the return of Sherlock Holmes is some of his own and some of the fan fiction ones. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope. That's up. And you still see it today where it's people are writing things like steampunk Sherlock Holmes, And Neil Gaiman wrote Cthulian Sherlock Holmes and did an amazing job with it. And you just have all these basically stories that are essentially sort of fanfic.
Did anyone else here watch Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century?
Nope.
I turned that off, I swear to God.
No, you didn't see that cartoon as a kid? No, I'm sad.
I might have seen an episode or two of it, but nothing major.
Anyways, but yeah, no, they even made a kid's show off of Sherlock Holmes. And there's even, there was Shirley Holmes, where it was like his lost niece or something. Like, there's so much fan fiction over Sherlock Holmes. Technically, even the movies and the TV show are fan fiction. And the ferret over here is pointing to her own Shirley Holmes manga that was written.
So shall we go in a little bit as to why people might write fan fiction?
No, no, we're still doing famous fan.
We can still go over some more on the list because Sherlock Holmes is a great example, but there are others.
Yeah. Well, because someone had mentioned previously before that the majority of, now, was it Star Wars or Star Trek, that the majority of the books released after a certain point were works created as a fanfic base?
Well, it's not just after a certain point. All of them.
Yeah, all of them. I think, I'm pretty sure with Star Wars, other than the canon 7 or 9,
yeah.
Excuse me, that he wrote?
But those
I know
released,
the Star Wars fan fiction is
public,
huge.
In bookstores.
But yeah, you can go to a bookstore, you can go to the Star Wars section, and you can find all these Star Wars books that were never, like, I don't think Lucas ever gave the stamp of approval or anything.
It's same thing goes with the Star Trek books.
It's weird because with Star Wars, they're usually so... Isn't Star Wars one of the ones they're so tight? Yeah, on the copyright?
Well, the thing is you have...
Or it's just for the movies.
It's just for the movies because I think Star Wars and Star Trek both have a lot of fanfic. Because
you have the Thrawn series, which is supposed to be the sequels to the Star Wars movies. And now with the sequels to the Star Wars movies coming out, that pretty much is now being, well, they're not doing that, so fanfic. It's non-canon. And, I mean, the same thing goes with other movie series, like the Aliens movies. There's a whole bunch of books out there that are non-canon. And you just see it because people want to see further stuff. Another example of a fanfic is 50 Shades of Grey, which started off as a Twilight fanfic. Oh.
Yeah.
A very, very interesting Twilight
fanfic. Sure, just about everybody knows about 50 Shades. And maybe not everybody knows that it was a fanfic, but...
One that I...
Cthulhu.
Because,
yes,
well,
Lovecraft's work
has
a lot of people writing in his world because...
It's fine.
And he encouraged it.
Welcome to Night Vale is heavily inspired off of Lovecraft. Though it's more, instead of everyone being scared and horrified by what's going on in the town, it's the complete opposite and everyone is just like, that's what happens and continues on their normal day as if it was the mundane.
I've mentioned before the James Potter series by G. Mormon Lippert, which is a giant series of books about Harry Potter's son that Rowling's was like, okay, no, go for it, and...
Bash away.
You know, and he wrote a whole bunch of books about it.
So there's plenty of fan fiction out there published in other versions. Sometimes it's an homage. What would be the difference between an homage and a fan fiction? Is there one?
I don't think there's a difference.
Like, I'm pretty sure people would say the Sherlock Holmes movies and TV shows are almost like a retelling or an homage versus, but at the same time, you could almost call them a fanfic.
Fanfictions are more trying to replace the story that's already happened, and an homage is more of a tribute to it.
Yeah. That's how I would take it. One's a tribute versus the other one's being a you're continuing it.
Or you're trying to write it so that it would be just right along the other books or in a side.
Or a small pocket in the world that they've created, like, you know, continuing something that happens on Tatooine or something that happens to
what
happened to that character that I never heard about.
Fan fiction, you're trying to write something that is entirely different from what the original series may have been.
I wouldn't say entirely different.
Well, you're essentially maintaining the same storyline, the same plot, the same characters, the same...
I think it can vary from that because... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, this goes on. We actually cover this.
Yeah, I was going to go, like, we talk about later about how, like, My Little Pony, they're doing, like, episodic, while certain other shows are going, if this never happened, and then they splinter off and make their own timeline, right?
So, okay, sorry.
So there's many different ways to write fanfics.
I was just saying,
And it's quite a common thing. I think all of us have have admitted in the past to writing fan fiction on this show?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure we have.
Yep.
it's not uncommon for a writer to start writing, doing their first piece of writing as a fan fiction.
Well, even it's, now it's relaxing. I mean, no, this has no parameters, nothing that I need to, you know, focus on externally besides what I want to see in my story for my own pleasure, but I want to write. So just bash out something crazy.
That's why Ice King does it.
What's Ice King?
Ice
King from Adventure Time.
Oh,
your ice
oh,
Fiona
yeah.
and cake.
Jeez Louise.
You have Firefly marked down here. Now, I know that it's extremely popular, but do you have any specific fan fictions that have been done?
Not off
Firefly?
The top of my head.
What about the comics?
That would work.
Yeah, there's a Firefly fan fiction archive with over 7,000 stories. So there is definitely fan fiction out there of it, as expected.
Well, there's fan fiction of everything. It's the rule 34 of the writing world. Like,
I like that. That is good.
So,
because it also probably involves porn.
Of course it does.
Regardless of what the story is, if somebody reads it and somebody likes it, they are going to want something else. You know, people come up all the time. They're like, you know, I really wish this character had done this and this. And so some people take it upon themselves to write it. And that's just fine.
Yes. So why do people write fanfics? As Roland says, to continue something that they love. Hence, like Firefly, where it's the series ended and it really never saw any completion except for maybe Serenity. So, and there's a huge amount of space between those two points.
Well, the one example I have is the Lone Gunman from the X-Files.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys watched X-Files, because I certainly haven't.
We did.
Okay.
But
did you ever see the Lone Gunman in it?
I vaguely remember.
Essentially, it was three guys that would go and find out conspiracies and find truth behind them, and they would be consultants at times. And later, Fox gave them their own spinoff. Guess where this is going? It's Fox. They eventually canceled the series, and what they ended up doing was actually killing them off in another episode of X-Files, which angered off the people who really liked the Lone Gunman, because they'd even killed them off in their own series. But the way that they killed them off was just kind of like a floozy way, enough that I've seen a lot of stories of people where just writ them like, and instead of doing the dumb thing, they did the smart thing and survived. And then they just picked up from there and continued writing more Lone Gunman stories.
Mm. Yeah. Can I?
Yeah.
It's much like at the end of Enterprise. How did they end the Enterprise series? It was a holodeck projection that Riker and Deanna Troi were watching. But the thing is because it was Deanna and Riker after the, you know, so many years of them not doing Star Trek, they looked completely different, even like
with age.
Even though it was supposed to be them still in the next generation time stream. And it was just like, well, why would you end it like that? Yeah.
That reminds me of DS9, where, you know, they spend the 50 years traveling space, then find the time warp and go and defeat the Borg, and they undid everything.
I think you mean Voyager.
Was that
Voyager? Maybe?
Right. Sorry, Voyager.
Yeah. Well, even the new Star Trek movies are essentially a retcon, right?
But I mean, a lot of the time, people will write fan fiction as a means of filling the immense void that comes when a series is over.
Time travel.
I love time travel.
People love Firefly. Like, I'm still convinced that people love Firefly because Firefly was never given the chance to, like,
to be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah. That's like any series that I know of that people remember fondly are never more than like two seasons long.
Look at Doctor Who. Like how
Doctor
much friggin' doc? Yeah, well, I know, but look at how much friggin' fanfic there is of Doctor Who.
But it's
so easy
it's
to input into that world.
Yeah.
Well.
So,
We'll not get into that.
So beyond the love of the story and the want to continue or fill the void left behind after you read a fanfic, another reason that people want to write fanfics is to self-insert into a fanfic. Now, we've already talked
about... Who doesn't want to be, like, the main badass?
The Doctor Who.
I'm sure a lot of other furries on this have read Animorphs, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one who also wrote themselves into those stories.
Oh, hell yeah.
I
was totally trapped in the form
book.
Of a wolf,
well,
just like
it,
Tobias
but...
was in a hog.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, there was all these other people, then myself.
Well,
and when they first got caught in the rhino cage, when they went to the zoo, they trapped me in there, and my rhino was my first pick.
Exactly.
And then it went from there. You know?
I just imagine a sentence, it's like, all the animorphs and Doug.
I think,
so
I think they're too old for animorphs. I'm joking.
Well, it's like when I first entered the internet on my 386 and
yeah, 386 Pride. Yeah.
I came across a Sonic fanfic group, and I mentioned this before on the podcast, and I started reading, and there was, and seriously, if someone knows who this is, I would love to revisit it, but he was a raccoon who had a leg wound and always used a cane. He was an older character and hung out with Tails a lot. There were some stories that went with that. But anyway, and I read these fanfics, and I was like, hey, I would really want to be in this story. So I ended up writing, as I mentioned last podcast, more violent Sonic fanfic with blood and killing and death and so on and so forth. But I wrote myself into the story, and I wrote my friends into those stories.
Yep.
And
he killed them.
Yep.
No, well, they went, well...
No, he was betrayed by the...
No, I killed...
Yeah, Princess Acorn betrayed me. Oh, actually, geez. I betrayed Princess Acorn a shit ton. My character had serious issues.
Why do we keep trusting you?
Okay. That was Leah. Yeah, that was a whole trust issue. Writing yourself in and, like... And, I mean, that's always a tricky thing to say, because we've already talked about, in previous podcasts, about Mary Sue's and whatnot.
I don't think you're usually worried too much about a Mary Sue when you're writing a fanfic. I don't know.
Well, it...
If you're self-inserting yourself already?
But the thing is you can write... Because that's the thing, is like the one with the raccoon, the Sonic fanfics with the raccoon, they were written in such a way that it didn't come across like this was a Mary Sue character. This was came across as this was a valid story. And there was, you know, and it was like, he's not overpowered, he's got his flaws, and beyond gay sex with Tails, it was, you know, even fairly okay. another thing that you can do is, when, and not a lot of people do when they write fanfics, is they'll actually create an alternative reality to what's described, and...
Sorry, I wanted to build off the self-insertion.
Sorry, go for it.
Just for the fact that even with more well-established published authors, you still have a lot of that self-insertion in there because, you know, like if Furry is going to be the easiest example where you have somebody writing about a fox all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not typical. It's not anything bad. It's just the fact that they are writing in their own species because they relate better to that character.
Well, even Rowling said that Hermione is self-insertion. She was Hermione. So
that's not a bad thing. Hermione's still a good character.
She has her shortcomings. She has her bonuses. You know, it's
she was totally OP.
overpowered. Oh, yeah.
So
she never finished the adventure as the one who came out on top. She always was dropped off.
Oh, I don't know. I only watched like two movies.
That's okay. I watched three. Of the
oh,
movies,
good.
But you know, in the third slightly movies, more you know, than they start something, she falls back.
It reminds me of the poster that somebody did, and it was like it was comparing Hermione to Bella in Twilight, and it's like, you know, this happens, like throws herself off a cliff, and then it goes on to detail like all of the awesome things that Hermione did when like shit was hitting the fan.
Yeah,
and you're just like, yeah, that is an awesome character.
But yeah, so the alternative reality. Where you're basically taking characters and writing things that you wish it had happened, or you're combining... You're basically doing a comic book thing where you're combining worlds. Much like you did with the Biker Mice of Mars.
Biker Mice from Mars.
Biker Mice from Mars.
Biker Mice
from
Mars. Hey, we're
going
to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, where you brought them into your own world.
Yeah.
And that's another form of fanfic, where you're taking characters from a pre-existing world and writing them into something else.
Well, where else were they going to go? They were stuck in Chicago.
When it comes to stories, there's always that sort of what-if factor. And the moment that you realize that you have these two hands that can, you know, write out all the hypothetical situations that you've been dreaming of, you know, it's kind of hard not to actually, you know, take a story and try to make it your own somehow.
Well, you're already invested in the story and the characters and the world. It's only natural that you want to...
Take part in it.
Take part, continue on it, right?
Well, I mean, that's why you have... I mean, artists have their route of... They can sit there and do art of the characters doing whatever.
Yeah. All the fan service art of pieces.
And it's just like... So it's only natural for us as writers to sit there and look at something and be like, hey, I can write...
Look how much Rocket Raccoon art there is already.
Yeah.
God, I haven't even...
Or even Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
The thing's been out for like a few weeks or just hit popular and there's art everywhere of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
And then there's erotic friend fiction.
Yep.
It is a horror movie.
So, another thing as to why people write fanfics is because they look at it and they realize you've maybe read something and you're like, oh, crap, that writing is shit. I could totally write better.
I've actually started novels based on this very premise.
Yeah, and that's...
Han Solo totally should have hooked up with Jabba the Hutt. Ugh.
And this goes back to the...
Han Solo did not, in fact, shoot first.
The war begins.
But I mean, that's the thing with... Because you look at 50 Shades, reading it normally, I don't know if anyone here actually has.
I haven't read it.
But it's... You see no Twilight reference. It was written as a fanfic that later was changed into its own thing and then released.
Didn't they have to make sure they cut out anything that would relate to it?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing, is if you write a really good fanfic, there's nothing to say that you can't go back and take all the crap out that references the original piece, mm-hmm. which may be easy or it might be impossible. But it is possible that you could end up writing that. So... As all of us are published writers.
Almost.
Almost. And so
you love to point
when
that
someone
out.
Comes up to you.
I have to be technically correct.
Now, I'm not going to lie. If someone comes up to me and goes, you know, I'm a writer too. I've written this totally awesome fanfic about.
I bet you stopped listening at the word fanfic.
You know, about The Lion King. You know, I'm a writer too. It's
well, we're all writers.
It's not polite to ignore someone, so I mean, I will listen to their input, but
you stop listening.
I mean,
we're skipping over the it's easier point.
Sorry, and I think the point you were
is it easier?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
I wanted to talk about like why. Okay, so another reason that people do fanfics though is because it's generally easier. Like we said,
the worlds
are already pre-built. You've got characters that you have already invested in.
See, that's
in
where my problem comes in, because I love world building. Hence why we took the biker mice into our worlds.
But you like the biker mice characters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were already invested in these characters, and you wanted to use them.
But we didn't take their world. Yeah. We didn't take their culture.
No.
And in the end, we actually changed them from biker mice to.
But you still like the concept of them.
Enough, yeah. I think we liked the furry concept of them.
But generally in fan fiction...
14-year-old furries, what do you want?
Yeah, well, one of the points I had written down here as well is the fact that fan fiction gets such a bad rap because you have so many beginning writers that take somebody else's storyline and just sort of hacks and slashes because they haven't yet developed the skills to create their own original story. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people think about it that way. Like, you know, you wouldn't look at somebody and be like, oh, well... You know, I can draw just because I can picture these things in my head, but people don't start out that way.
You notice that if an artist does hey, I did my own version of the Disney princesses, nobody goes, oh, geez, couldn't draw your own thing.
Yeah. Well,
but if someone rewrites their own, like, hey, this is my own version of Aladdin, everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, because you think you could write Aladdin better or something.
Yeah. But
nobody really thinks about the fact that you have to develop your skills as a writer, too. You know, same with drawing, same with any sort of skill.
And
when people start out, writing fan fiction is a quote-unquote slippery slope into, like, writing more full.
It's almost a taboo, even though it's totally not uncommon for most writers to, you know, start with a fan fiction. That's how a lot of us get into it. You know, it's just like, I really like that story. I have a story that would fit really good in that, and you start writing that.
You have something that already evokes such a strong emotional reaction out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really only natural to want to continue writing into that.
Well, and that's one of the things we've talked about, and when it comes to writing, is that when you have a strong emotional deposit into your story, it shows, and people catch on to that. Because if you write something you love versus something you don't, it shows in your story, much like Ocean and Erotica.
You have to actually read that story first.
Yeah, that's true. Duck. But it's like...
What do you mean? There's no rape.
No, it's probably consenting.
None of you have read my story. None of you can comment on it.
So
fine, I'll read your story so that I can comment on
it. Sending it to you now.
If you have that emotional investment within a already existing anime or TV show or whatever, then it shows when you write it. And there are some really amazing fanfics out there. But I think the main issue that comes at them from other people who have, say, are published writers, is that they look at fanfics and go, well, you're not published, and it's fanfics. Immediately you assume that it's going to be the shitty fanfics rather than something that's ultimately going to be really, really good. And those exist. A lot of them exist.
Oh, yeah. Like we just saw, there were 7,000 in that one. Yeah. I think you just hit on the main part right there, as though you are not published, and writing fan fiction is going to make it a lot harder to get published.
It's very hard to get something published of characters.
Are there anthologies of fan fiction? I'm sure there is. It wouldn't surprise me, but usually it's
the problem is that if you publish an anthology of fan fictions, you're immediately setting yourself up for essentially a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So cease and desist, and that in itself is a problem.
But, I mean, if we kind of take a look at this from the standpoint of somebody who's in the fanfiction community, you know, some of the most popular fanfictions are ones that people have taken the time to write not just one fanfiction, like not just a one-off, but something that progresses as a story.
Oh, like a series.
They've made it their own. Mm-hmm. They've taken this idea and evolved it into something that involves, you know, their own personal style.
Yeah, well, and one of the weirdest things when it comes to the popularity of a fanfic and how good is sometimes it's just the concept. Poorly written stories can still end up being super popular, much like in the My Little Pony one, The Rainbow Factory and Cupcake. They're terribly written stories. I don't know, I haven't read them, but
I've only seen the parodies of them and they're hilarious.
Rainbow Factory, I've watched a YouTube thing where a guy read through it and it was god awful. But the fact is the concept for it were popular enough that so much shit got done for it and so much further progressions of them came out that they became super popular and extremely well known in some cases outside of the fandom. But I mean, really, they're still poorly written.
How much of it was, it's so bad, I have to read this?
I think it was more of like the subject matter.
Okay.
I heard it was dark.
I don't know.
Well, take where My Little Pony was at the time that Cupcakes came out. Here you have a cannibalistic murder story that at the time not a lot of people were writing because the fandom was still young.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly people were going, oh my shit, have you read Cupcakes? You should read this. It'll disturb you. And then
it's kind of funny that the content that came out of these stories is what evolved the story itself. Like, these are all just sort of fan fictions of a fan fiction,
mm-hmm.
that somebody else has taken their own rendition of it and turned it into something arguably better than the original submission.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually read either of them, but I remember, you know, plenty of My Little Pony fans going, oh my god, this is incredible. You know, either good or bad.
Another thing that comes up when it comes to people wanting to write their own stuff is, unfortunately, the slash fix, where it's so-and-so and so-and-so. And again, My Little Pony, sorry to go back to this, that was the first fanfix that came out for that freaking fandom, was Rainbow Dash and so-and-so, Rainbow Dash and so-and-so, always Rainbow Dash and someone else, because goddamn, she's a lesbian.
Oh, like, I've been keeping up to date with the latest Legend of Korra episodes, and you have so many people going, like, you know, Korrasami, which are, of course, the two female characters, or, like, these two characters, or these two characters, when obviously, like, these aren't the people that are supposed to be together.
Well, and this still happens within the furry fandom. How many people sit there and write slash fiction about Kyle Gold's characters?
Just look at the comment section on Fur Affinity, oh yeah, Murper, wish I could ride on that cock.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, it's sort of their own version of shipping and self-insertion, like, rolled into one little comment.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
And I think one of the other things that makes fan fiction a little hard to swallow is the fact that because these writers are so new, that they're very wishy-washy. They're very inclined to change based on what sort of feedback they receive. They haven't quite developed the skills to think for themselves, and so their writing is very inconsistent. The characters aren't consistent. They don't follow the actual path that they probably should be. And so it makes it hard to find the good fan fiction that's out there.
So what makes fan fiction good? What is the main thing that leads to fan fiction, that makes fan fiction succeed?
Isn't it the same as any other story?
Fan base?
Well, like, what's the difference between a good fan fiction and just a good story that was written, other than possible viewership?
Punctuation, editing, grammar.
No. A good fan fiction should have all that as well.
I think personally that, like,
that's biased.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's because, where we talked before, where it was like fanfics look down upon.
We can look at what makes a good story and apply it to fan fiction, but if we're looking at what makes a fan fiction good, we're essentially looking for somebody that takes the idea as their own, molds it into a very special sort of...
Just kind of brings their own flair to it. Yeah. Brings almost an area of originality to it.
Exactly.
Well, like, the main thing that it's the same goes for Star Trek, goes for My Little Pony, goes for Avatar, goes for whatever. If you're going to write fanfic and you want it to be a good fanfic, the first thing you got to realize is you are in someone else's world. And this happens in the normal writing world where you have a shared world concept where it's like, oh, can this writer and this writer and this writer come in and write in my world? Well, you have the same rules that apply when you're writing fanfic. You have to be true to your setting, you have to be true to your characters, and you have to hit and we keep talking about this, the payoffs. You have to keep hitting those payoff points that people who are a fan of, say, Sonic are looking for, or Avatar that they're looking for. And you've got to make sure that you're being true to these things, and at the same point, being a good writer. In many ways, it's actually more difficult to write good fanfic than it is to write your own story.
Your job as somebody who writes fanfiction is almost to convince the reader that what you're writing is plausible. Like, you have to make sure that whatever you're doing is believable within that world, because everything's already laid out for you. It makes things easier in some respect, but it makes it harder to give a complete and plausible story for that world.
Well, take a case in point that we came across this weekend, as we came across a YouTube video that is for an upcoming program that this person's doing for My Little Pony. And we watched it, and at the end of it, it was like, eh. But the reason being is because it didn't stick to anything in the current My Little Pony world, except for the fact that they were ponies, and there were alicorns, and there was, you know, unicorns and all that. That was it. Suddenly there's all these other characters that are taking these huge, huge, huge roles, and it's like, but you're not sticking to anything that makes MLP MLP. You're going off on your own tangent and essentially writing your own story with ponies. And that's
And they looked ridiculous.
Which people have done as well.
And you can do it successfully. You can
have fan fiction based just entirely in the world, but have none of the original characters. And that's, in some cases, fine,
too.
I don't
even think that this was... this could fall in the world.
It sounds like what you guys are talking about is quite a bit different from that. But.
Well, you can, for example, you can have a world where it's like Star Wars, where you're writing in Star Wars and trying to do your own things, but you have nothing in relation to the entire movies because it is the Star Wars universe. That's what they were going to do with the TV series, where it's completely in a separate part and it's its own thing. And you can do that because you're not messing with it. In the case of this video that we watched, there are some major elements in there that, if they truly existed, would have been affecting the entirety of MLP in the first place.
I actually kind of see it a lot like writing, say, like a magic system for a story, in that the world that you're writing in has some very concrete rules that must be followed, and they have to be consistent. But, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
No, there's certain rules, and you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an X-Wing, you can't call an X-Wing if you change what an X-Wing looks like.
Your X-Wing, like, doesn't shoot real bullets, and, you know, Jedi's, you know, I don't know.
Get married,
can't
have
be
children.
Beaten up by, like, a regular human child.
Get married, have children all the time, because it's normal for a Jedi.
Well, it's like Warhammer 40K, some of the things that people have done. Female Space Marines, it's been stated flat out in numerous fictions, Space Marines have to be male. It's because of the way that the hormonal treatment and all these different genes in a space marine work to create a space marine. It is physically impossible for a woman to be a space marine. First thing people do, female space marines.
Wouldn't that be transgendered at that point?
Well, at that point, yes. Because if you ever look at the physiology of a space marine, they're...
And well, I'm assuming you're being pumped full of drugs and hormones specifically tailored to a male output. Therefore, yeah. You are being filled chock full of male hormones. You are no longer female.
Exactly. And it was just one of those things where degree. It was like... You have to stick kind of with the world that you're doing if you're going to play with certain elements in that world. Another thing that's important when what makes good fanfics a good fanfic is if you're going to use characters from those fanfics or from the actual work, they have to be true to their characters. One of the biggest criticisms to the James Potter series that I mentioned is that the Harry characters from Harry Potter don't act like adult versions of the characters that were in the original stories and movies and whatnot. They are actually so different that they come across as completely new characters. The author, who is also American, also added Americans into the story for no other point that seems pointless except to have Americans in there because, oh my god, I'm American. I must have Americans in this. It's essentially a British story.
And that's where writing a proper fan fiction can require a lot more
thought,
effort and thought to it than writing your own original story. Because you have to consider that these characters, you know, they have to remain organic. So you can't just have somebody, you can't have Harry kill a Null or whatever, because it would be completely out of character. You know, say Harry has a house elf in your fan fiction. Like, you're like, okay, well, what the fuck happened with Dobby like 6 years ago?
Suddenly, Harry Potter likes some gendered servants. I was like, I'll see a lot of stuff with, like, Jedi falling in love and moving away from the, you know, the main area and having a family. It's like, no, then they're not Jedi anymore. The Jedi are completely, people. You know, excluding everything in this, like, except for service to their schools, you know. They don't have family. They don't have lovers. They don't have children. That's why the whole thing with Anakin was such a clusterfuck, because he threw away all the teachings to have a family and to fall in love. Therefore, he was no longer a Jedi at that point. So when I see someone doing all these drawings with this Jedi falling in love with them, this story with this Jedi falling in love with them, it's like, okay, that's not a Jedi anymore. You have now just kind of taken the world and shit on it. Congratulations, you've made yourself a Sith and an outlaw. Hope you like Red Infantside.
And, you know, typically when you're writing something like a fan fiction, you're not going to try and create your own characters for the sake of introducing variety.
Well, you can. Or you do it for the self-insertion.
But, that's where your main issue comes in, is that this stuff like that is largely seen as an act of self-insertion, a blatant act of self-insertion. It's like Doug and the Animorphs. Like,
but see, then I just picture Doug from Doug.
That's what I keep picturing. It's like, honk, honk, hey guys! I gotta stop the aliens and then go pick up Sally Mayonnaise for the day. Where's Skeeter? When you need him? Because crossovers is another version of fan fiction. Let's explore that.
Yes, let's actually explore crossovers. I'm up for this.
All right, so
you got time. Let's
what
go.
Do you get when you cross over two animes together?
So Pokemon and Digimon end up in the same world.
You end up with Rule 34.
And that ferret is the most excited ferret ever.
If you
no,
I don't know, crossing over, but I don't think a lot would change. You just have like people running around the digital world like trying to collect badges from other Digimon.
Using other Pokemon.
But
I'm not excited because you're just making fun of it now.
See, you can do that though, because they're relatable enough that you can do that. I mean, I would even go so far as you could say you could almost combine Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! It'd be fucked up, but you can do it.
The funny thing about crossovers is that they're not exactly endorsed by people that read or write fan fiction, but they are endorsed by like essentially all of the big companies that own a lot of this intellectual property.
Oh yeah, they love to cross over their own stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Look at Afterlife with Archie, which I picked up this weekend, where it was like, and I flipped through it and it's just like, this is effing brilliant. Because I started flipping through it and like the art is, you recognize the characters, you know, you recognize Jughead because of the stupid hat, but the art is done in a far more adult manner. And then the storyline for how, say, zombies happen is realistic. And it's just, and it goes on from there. And it is horrific. It is actually almost along the lines of what I did with my Sonic fanfic, where it's like, suddenly people are getting their arms blown off and people are dying and it's blood everywhere. And it's like, well, holy shit, this is pretty extreme. Now, in the case of my fanfic, I wasn't so true to the original story, which is why it didn't work. But with Afterlife with Archie, it's something that's so well done and handled so well, even the implied incest. It's a good and interesting read, but that's because they went into it and they did something amazing.
Like, is of all of the stuff that we've talked about as far as like fan fiction and shipping and crossovers, is that is the most popular one, where you have things like Marvel versus Capcom. You've mm-hmm. got like,
yeah, but you're looking in professional cartoon environments. If I'm going to do a fan fiction, I think people start looking at a level less.
Yeah, well, yeah, the second you take this into the fan fiction world,
you just let people, even the normal fan fiction people are now like, oh, you have to cross over your world.
Yeah, people turn up their nose as they look down on you. Like, it's,
and I think that has to do with presentation as well. Because if you go up and someone says, I'm going to do Doug and the Animorphs, no one's gonna take it seriously.
You can actually become Quail Man.
But it's how you present. I think for crossovers, it's how you present it and what you're crossing. Because if you start cross, like, here's a professional crossover, and tell me if this makes sense to you, because it's an actual effing novel, X-Men and Star Trek: The Next Generation.
That would be weird.
It's an actual novel. Maybe? When you hear that idea, how...
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I think why? I have heard of this.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make sense to me, no. Because
haven't you shown me this book?
I have. That would entirely warp how Earth has evolved over the last...
Well, because the thing is...
Patrick Stewart can't be both.
They come...
Dashing, you are fantastic. God, we are on a roll tonight.
They come across a world where basically everyone on the world is a mutant. And
like an alternate dimension reality kind of thing?
No, it's like in Star Trek universe. And then they go, well, crap. And then through some weird temporal thing, they end up bringing the X-Men back. And they've already met the X-Men once in the comics. So it's like, so here you have certain things where it's like, okay, like Shadowcat ends up making a meteor that's headed for the Enterprise incorporeal and takes it through the Enterprise, not realizing that because of her phasing disrupts electricity and, you know, all the certain things that it fucks with the Enterprise. But then at the end of the entire book, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, we've cured this entire planet of their mutant powers. We can cure you, because they're that so far ahead tech-wise that it's just like, yeah, by the way, this took us 30 seconds to figure out.
It's just genetic.
Yeah, I like the, yeah, your superpowers, we can fix those for you.
You abominations of humankind.
Yeah, instead of fixing society, you're the problem.
But I don't know, that doesn't entirely make sense to me.
But yeah, like, but it saw publication. It saw, you know, this is something that was apparently interesting enough that people wanted it. I mean, it's just like they crossed, what was it? Oh yeah, the first time they did it, Spock fought Wolverine. And
what?
Yeah, and it's over in 2 seconds, because Spock moves to the side, Nerve pinches him, down goes Wolverine. Because it's not something that affects his healing factor. It's
just knocks him out.
Yeah. Where you have to watch your crossovers and your professionalism when it comes to what you're crossing over. Because you present X-Men in Star Wars, or Star Trek, and you're kind of like, well, that's kind of hard to swallow, because as you said, they're both from Earth. They're both from, you know.
Like, yeah, there's almost no way that these two worlds can exist side by side and end up the same.
Exactly.
You know, if you've evolved so much farther in technology that you're like, oh, we can cure you. Well, how did the X-Men even come to begin in the first place?
Yeah.
If they have that much technology. But yeah.
Again, it,
just because something is published doesn't always mean that it's, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But likewise, the opposite is also true.
Well, it's like, I want to cross over Biker Mice from Mars and Mad Max. I've either created something
that would be awesome.
ridiculous or something that would
Sam and Max and Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh, come on, no, man, Max and Biker Mice from Mars. That would be awesome with all the motorcycles and the tanking, and then you've got Moto taking everything apart and then Vinny just blowing everything up. That would be so much fun.
What's it? Heavy metal?
Heavy metal
and Biker Mice from Mars.
Heavy metal isn't really just one thing.
Heavy metal and Tank Girl or something.
Well, and see, but that's examples, like right here are examples of really good crossovers.
Heavy metal.
In your opinion, these are really good crossovers. I don't think you've hit a point of genius. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop that right there.
But I mean, this
could be a good idea.
But I mean, take all the crossovers that you get happening in, say, My Little Pony, where it's just like Batman crosses over to My Little Pony.
Kills everything.
What the fuck?
Suddenly Batman learns how to kill.
Or even just crossing over series with the quote-unquote real world.
Deadpool and Yeah. Goodbye.
Where you have like these complete, like say, you know, oh, Digimon in my bedroom.
Oh,
you know,
they
how
did
this
cool,
happen?
Cool World. There's a good crossover.
That's a terrible crossover.
No, Cool World in itself is a crossover. It's like the worst ever of Looney Tunes meets, you know, some crime drama.
So, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I was going
to
leave that one.
That was a crossover of Disney Looney Tunes and Disney.
Yeah, because they actually had a contract that Daffy couldn't be on script any longer than
Space Jam.
Donald. They were on time. They are on screen for the
crossover,
exact amount of time, second per second.
Let's crossover of Looney Tunes with Michael Jordan.
Wow, that sounds like a fantastic idea. There's no way that
I think they could make a sequel to that.
Like,
LeBron has to go visit.
But I just think it's funny how much more widely accepted something like this is considered to, like,
in the mass media.
Yeah,
because Space Jam. Everyone still remembers Space Jam.
You know,
but like, if you were gonna say and go like, guys, I've got this great news story. I took the characters from Looney Tunes and they're basketball players, and Michael Jordan and his team is transported and they have to play basketball. Wouldn't you call me like, what the frig are you working on?
With the seer on that, when she was holding the hands of the basketball players, the powers were stolen. She was telling them the summary of the story, and they're like, this is stupid. Try acupuncture.
A crossover by almost any definition is a fan fiction of some sort. Hmm.
Now, whose fan fiction idea was that? Michael Jordan's agent, or was it actually someone from...
I'm pretty sure it was Bling Bling.
See, it's funny, because when you describe it as a synopsis, it sounds stupid.
But when you sit down to watch it...
When I was a kid watching Space Jam, I was excited as balls. Like,
we saw Space Jam in a drive-in theater in Australia.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
My God.
Because they can have drive-in theaters, unlike us with our shitty weather.
Yeah, we cannot.
I saw
Though they
Titanic
do have it at Deerfoot Mall every once
in a while. Or not in Sterling.
They have a drive-in theater at Deerfoot Mall every once in a while.
Sweet.
Actually, wrapping things up.
Unfortunately, it's during a weekday. They had it last month.
Okay.
But yeah, I like...
Do you want to bring up your point about the Alicorns?
Have you talked enough about MLP?
Yeah.
No, I think we've got this.
So, in summary of this podcast, and all its insanity and crossovers and shipping and Slash and... whatnot.
Be proud of what you write regardless.
Yes. Fanfic is a valid writing form.
And it shouldn't really be treated any more differently than anything else that you would write.
When it comes down to it, if someone comes up to you and goes, I wrote a fanfic about this, don't start ignoring them at, I wrote a fanfic about this. Start ignoring them when they go, X-Men crossed over with Star Trek.
Or it involves this character named, insert my own name here.
I'm going to debate you on that point because you bought the book. You own the book.
But how else would he know how terrible it is?
Because he was interested in it first. Because,
you know, I totally haven't bought books that are completely about self-insertion.
But
just
then
to read through them and comment about how bad they are.
Yeah, your reviews.
His recommendation is going to... you know, influence whether or not someone like me will buy this book. And I won't. I'll borrow Tarl's.
Yeah, exactly.
and I'll wreck it.
But that's the thing, is writing fan fiction, like, well-written fan fiction can be amazing. Because, say, for, again, my MLP, if you can write an MLP episode that actually reads like an MLP episode, you need a pat on the back, because that's one of the hardest things to do. Because everyone else wants to write these giant friggin' epics.
No.
You
and
wrote an
put their
episode.
Own ponies in.
Yeah. And if you can write a episode about My Little Pony that is an episode with their own characters and whatnot and
see,
pull it off, kudos that, to you. I have all the respect in the world because I sure as hell can't do that.
That's actually kind of funny considering how many fan-generated ponies are in My Little Pony.
It makes you wonder how many fan-generated storylines end up in there too. Because, you know, you watch it every once in a while, episode blank and blank written by... And I'm not thinking that. Some of those names have got to be, you know, submissions from fans.
Well, the original Star Trek had fan-written episodes.
I think one of my favorite fan-written episodes was the one with the giant alien jellyfish that made up the towns. That I know that one was a fanfic written. Because it wasn't a character development one. It was just filler. But it's still one of my favorite
episodes. Talking about, like, the Star Trek fanfics reminds me of that one Futurama episode.
Which one?
The one where they crash land on the planet where they have all the discarded Star Trek.
Oh yeah, the guy, like, the guy that wants to hold them,
the,
and
the,
yeah,
like the giant collector. Mystical cloud of.
No, first we have to read my fanfiction.
Yeah.
And again, Fiona and Cake, which is one of the most hilarious fanfics that there is. And...
Admit it, you like Cake.
Is that the squeaky pony and the other pony? Or...
No, it's
Finn and Jake.
Oh,
Fiona and Cake.
Right. Okay, yeah.
We were in.
I should really watch more of that.
Just a quick thing. We were at Warp, and I was Warp 1 in Edmonton. We were in there, and this one guy's looking at Adventure Time comics with his friend, and his friend's like, "Just admit it, you like Cake," and he's like, "I do." And I just kind of like hurry in the making. Urch, so I'm going to walk away from this slowly now.
Nerds.
Yeah, there was a lot of creepy people that we ran into in Edmonton on White this weekend.
But yes, anyway.
Edmonton.
So don't take fret in writing fan fiction because as you can see, it's friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
And and don't beat yourself up because it, and don't let people put you down because you are writing fanfic, especially if you're beginning. Everyone has to start somewhere, and most people have started writing fanfic.
Right.
I started in the corner of a library with a cartoon book.
I think the moral here is that fanfiction's really just like any other part of your writing experience, and that there's some of it that you should feel very proud of, and some of it that will never see the light of day.
But that's fine, because maybe you're just writing it for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Also, if you are looking to be published, fan fiction is probably not the way to go.
No.
You could do
it's
it,
good
but it's...
a starting point.
Yeah.
Well, you can either do as 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, God.
I hate using that as an example, but you can remove the fan fiction portions of it and publish it as your own. Or you can try to get permission from the content holder.
Potter, which is crazy. It still blows my mind that he was able to do that, but hey.
Well, didn't we talk this weekend about how one girl who really, really wanted to write for DC basically just called DC and said, "Hey, I want to write for you. How do I do that?"
And they said, "Talk to the head editor of Batman." So she talked to the head editor of Batman on the phone, and he said, "You need to do these things to write Batman." So she did those things. She now writes for Batman.
Where's this number I want to
I know, right?
She just called DC head office.
What is their number? Do they hire Canadians?
But there, and I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, most comic book artists start off doing their own fan drawings of.
Oh yeah.
You know, and there's
like
nothing...
it's common to submit a portfolio of like, "Hey, look, here's your characters that I drew."
Yeah.
Because exactly. That is what you would be doing.
Yeah.
As well as here's some creations of my own.
I work for this company drawing these people, therefore here's my portfolio of these people.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for writing. It's just, we're a little more harsher when it comes to someone presents you the story that's a fanfic, and you're like, well, I could read this, or I could read, you know, these original stories.
I think a big turnoff is like, well, I wrote a fanfic about Harry Potter. Well, I haven't read the Harry Potter book, so why would I be interested in a Harry Potter fanfic?
Yeah.
Actually, that kind of just makes a juxtaposition in my head there. It's really funny that we'll be given a little quote-unquote manuscript of a character of someone saying, "This is my fanfic with Chip and Dale." But at the same point, we're like, okay, that's anyway, I'm on the internet and I come across a self-insertion piece with Chip and Dale. Which are we more likely going to scoff at? We're going to scoff at the self-insertion of the story, not the self-insertion of the artist.
I think that we as writers tend to look at fan fiction as artists do to people that trace something. And that we look at it is that it's not their efforts that are coming through here. Yeah, you're taking somebody else's story and essentially bastardizing it to fit your own personal need.
Do you think it's also harder that, say, like going back to the Firefly, there's over 7,000 stories. If I'm going to write one, how well is it going to be noticed?
Yeah, and that's...
But versus writing your own original thing and then putting it on FA or something, or
about the same, or
fanfiction.net.
The only way that anybody really gets noticed, fanfiction or otherwise, is quantity in addition to quality. So if you're writing a fan, like some of the most popular and some of the most well received fanfictions that I, you know, knew about or read were people that had anywhere from like 30 to 100 submissions to themselves.
And I'll back that, because that Sonic fanfic, there was at the time that he was the most prolific writer on the thing. And what happened was interesting is that people started wanting to write in the world he had created, expanding upon this, the Sonic cartoon, and people started writing and their characters started showing up and it expanded. And it was almost this beautiful world building exercise where it took on a life of its own. But the fact is he wrote good and he wrote often. Regardless, go and write. Even if it is fanfic, at least you're writing and you're still hitting those word counts every day.
Practice. Write often, yeah. Write well. It doesn't matter if it's fanfiction, do your best.
You might not be able to show your fanfiction to everyone around you, but you can show it to other people who are also interested in that community.
And there is a community in any fanfic you're looking to write. Thanks for listening. If you want to get a hold of us, look up Fangs and Fonts on Google.
Well, see... I question that because in different wherever you are in the world, you're going to get different results for what you search.
Your challenge for this podcast is to write a Fangs and Fonts fan fiction.
Oh my god, please! That would be hilarious.
Oh yeah, yes, please, please.
Geez. That would be adorable. Come on. Next thing you know, you and Boyce are going to be shipped.
Yeah, please don't ship any of us.
Boyce and Roland.
Well, you're allowed to ship Boyce and Yan.
Well, that's a given.
Oh jeez.
So, you can find us online at fangsandfonts.com. You can email us at podcast@fangsandfonts.com or on Twitter @fangsandfonts.
Or Facebook,
Fangs and Fonts. Come give us some love on Facebook. We like those likes.
Feel free to follow our individual Twitters. I'm Roland Ferret.
I'm Ocean Tigrox.
I'm Voice Spider.
I'm Yanara, and I'm never on my Twitter. Go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, she's on the Facebook, so... otherwise, let us know what topics you want to hear, guests you'd like on, and what you'd like us to talk to them about. We're going to address that soon, because I think we've got a lot of guests that people want to hear. So, we decided that our next book we're going to review will be Jesse Owens' Song of the Summer King. We don't know when we're going to review that yet, though, do we?
Probably, like everything else, in a couple months.
Possibly the end of the year. So, if you guys are interested, find yourself a copy of the book. Jess is great.
It's on sale by Rabbit Valley.
There will
Rabbit
most Valley, likely...
you can get it on Amazon. You can go to Jess's website, and I'm sure that'll tell you where to go download it as well.
There will most likely be spoilers, so feel free to read the book before we review it.
There's going to be spoilers completely.
Of course, there's always spoilers.
If you've paid attention to our Summerhill thing, you'll know there's spoilers.
Okay, so what is with our reviews having to do with summer?
Oh.
Bugger.
So if you have a book that has summer in the title and wants it reviewed, we'll do it for
now,
you.
Now the sequel needs to be Song of the Summer Hill.
No, the third book is Something's Shard of the Sun.
50 Shards of Grey.
No. Oh.
Otherwise,
that's my fanfic.
If any of you are going to Rainforest, you know, we'll be there. We even have our own panel. At the moment it's on Friday, but I don't know if things will change, so look for it on the schedule. We'd love to have you guys show up. We're going to talk about networking and social media, because a lot of people keep asking that, you know, like, should do an episode about like how should I meet people at a con. So what better place to do it than at the con?
You can start by meeting us at our panel
or beforehand.
And you can find what panels we are on the Rainforest website. We're all on there, and you can see we're all on panels.
We'll all be there,
and you can
actually see us already up on the RF schedule.
You can,
though it's
you
not
can identify
permanent.
Me by the dangly bits hanging from my belt,
and
By which I mean my poi.
He has poi.
Anyway, so you can find us on the website. The schedule is not
I'm going to wear my poi, just so everyone confuses me with you.
Please,
be like, feel free to... Yeah, that story in Taboo really wasn't that great.
Feel free to check it out.
We should wrap this up so they'll stop listening to us ramble.
Fuck.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Coming out of the closet.
No, the raccoon was having sex with Tim.
I thought you were the raccoon.
No, I was a fox.
Even for some of the more well-established authors, self-insertion is still... What did I miss?
He almost like spit up all his coke from that. We're gonna pause.
I was too busy yakking. What happened?
Because he's like the two tail foxes, he's taking a sip.
Because they're actually dead sex.
I think he almost choked on it or spilled a bunch of... Even Spot is laughing.
Thank you, yeah, thank you.
Fuck. God damn it.
Oh, that was
Yeah, exactly.